This is Notepad. I'm your host, Ibrahim Sani. We want to give you a little bit of update in terms of the mega merger that is currently happening in corporate Malaysia. Axiata Group and Digi.com Berhad has inked their agreement to form, to go ahead with a proposed merger to be called Celcom Axiata Berhad and Digi.com to be called MergeCo. Following this inking of acknowledgement of this merger, a few research houses in KL has upgraded their target price of both companies. They've also indicated that there's a lot of upside following this merger. And we all know that this was the second time running that they are trying to get this merger going, largely because the first time round, there was very ambiguous and unclear kind of stories on why this merger collapsed the first time round. So I think they've ironed that out and now they're moving ahead. And it seems like this is all systems go for the merger between these two companies. We've had the CEO of Axiata on the show, and we, I guess, interrogated him quite extensively regarding the merger. So now trying to get a better view of what it looks like from the outside, we have a rather renowned guest of ours, Janice Chong, a senior director at Fitch Ratings in Singapore. Janice, thanks for taking the time to speak with us. Let's do a quick recap into what Fitch Ratings think about both companies and subsequently about the merger.
Sure. This is clearly a merger of two equals. We should bring about price stability back into the Malaysian telecoms market. I think what it also highlights is that the merger highlights the need or the telco's pursuit for scale in a very subdued operating environment and high capital investments.
Okay, it seems like some of the research houses, including Kenanga, RHB, and a few others, have said that after doing a little bit of more scrutiny for following this merger, the cost optimization is actually better than expected. The revenue impacted is going to be less severe than earlier initiated. And of course, these two kind of factors resulted in these analysts giving a rather optimistic view on the upside of the merger. Do you share such optimism when it comes to the merger of these two companies?
The merger set out to achieve, number one, scale efficiencies. Number two, expand market reach through combined market share of these two companies. And thirdly, obviously, stronger competitive position. And I think in terms of the MergeCo, that will give them, or they will become the largest mobile operator in Malaysia and also the largest telecom operator in Malaysia, surpassing Maxis, surpassing that of Telecom Malaysia. Now, in terms of the cost synergies, two perspectives here. Number one is the capital spending. A telco in Malaysia spends about 15% of revenue on a yearly basis just to sustain the kind of data needs in the market. Through the merger, this could potentially reduce the network duplication costs. And secondly, it also generates procurement synergies. And now, from the operational perspective, just looking at them maintaining a dual brand, what this does is that it can actually integrate the sales and marketing expenses as well as IT expenses and also combining the retail distribution outlets. So clearly, there are cost synergies out there. I think it all boils down to execution.
Okay. On top of that, we'll touch on the execution bit a bit, but you touched a little bit more on the geographic element of it. Of course, we're talking about Telenor, one of the bigger telco companies in the world, Axiata, a real big deal here in Southeast Asia as well as in South Asia. And while this merger is fully concentrated towards their Malaysian operations, do you think that there's cause for both companies to think about merging their operations in other markets as well?
I mean, you're right there. I think this merger is clearly the beginning of more mergers to come. And if you look at back in 2019, there were more ambitious plans for both companies, right? And the Malaysian operation was the biggest in terms of cost synergies they could potentially reap. And I think that there are more industry consolidation to come, for example, in Sri Lanka. And not just in terms of Telenor or Axiata, this, in fact, we are anticipating more M&As to happen within the region because of the kind of investments required ahead of 5G upcycle.
Some people want to not touch this issue, but I think it's rather important, particularly when it comes to Axiata and their legacy issues, which is staffing. One of the main speculations that came about from the failure of the first merger deal that fell through in 2019 was because there was enough momentum and inertia in prohibiting that merger from going through from their staff and from the lobbyists that are supporting their staff. Do you feel that they've gotten this issue manageable or managing these kind of concerns for this round's merger?
I think that is a rather sensitive topic, especially within Malaysia. But I think in order for a merger to go through and to sort of reap the real cost synergies there, you know, they would need to take a hard look on the number of headcounts, on a leaner cost structure per se. They would probably get to the personnel or the staff headcounts, you know, towards as it progresses, the integration progresses. But I think that is one of the key cost synergies they could reap from this kind of scale.
There is this company called Digital National Berhad, a special purpose vehicle that was created by the government to spearhead the drive on 5G infrastructure. Do you feel that being a mammoth, let's call this MergeCo a real company already by the end of the year or early next year, do you think that they have enough muscle, so to speak, to actually deal with DNB or try to fight for better rights for themselves as company and their shareholders in the utility of 5G?
Yeah, I think scale matters. It definitely matters in terms of a wholesale arrangement with DNB eventually. But I think just taking a step back, obviously the 5G rollout by DNB is going to be progressive. And in order to support a progressive 5G build-out, we need a strong 4G network. And that's where the mobile operators come in. This year and as well as next year, mobile operators will be putting in a lot of capex, a lot of investments into their network to maintain the network quality and also to roll out more 4G base stations within the country. And this comes at a time when we are shutting down 3G by the end of this year. So there is a lot of investments ahead of time. I think in terms of 5G rollout, my thinking is that it will be progressive in Malaysia.
So when we had the CEO of Axiata on the show, he was coy about the touchy issue of spectrum allocation. And I can understand why he's coy about the whole issue. This is still a negotiation that is ongoing, but it does bring about that whole notion of how it's going to be dished out and handed out and distributed. And while this is still a big question that needs to be answered quickly, where do you see this new MergeCo trying to muscle in and ask for better rights that should have been given to them many, many months ago, but you know we're still seeing some sort of a deadlock in negotiation between the regulators and the operators?
Okay, I think what you meant is this retaining the spectrum that they already have. So I think in terms of 3G, which is shutting down this year, obviously some of the spectrum here will be reallocated for 4G. And it's important to maintain the spectrum holding, what they already have, the mobile operators already have, because clearly spectrum is a valuable resource for any telecoms operator because it determines speed, it determines the capacity of one's network. So the MergeCo, ideally, you know, if you combine, they would have more than 200 megahertz of frequency airwaves combined between DG and Celcom, which doubles that of Maxis. Now, the question is, you know, in negotiation with the regulator, how much of those will be retained remains to be seen. But my thinking is that, you know, it is certainly a crucial factor to retain as much spectrum as possible, because ultimately when you combine, I think the objective of this merger as well is to secure as much spectrum, you know, required through this merger.
All right, one item that we need to go through is the financial of it, or the financing of it. The proposed deal will see Axiata deconsolidating its entire subsidiary Celcom and equity, accounting to 33.1% stake in the enlarged entity of MergeCo. Axiata will then receive new shares in the listed entity with 2 billion ringgit in cash, which will be paid by Digi, 1.7 billion ringgit, and Telenor, 300 million ringgit. The extent of Axiata's deleveraging with the cash proceeds is still uncertain. And of course, we're looking at the gross debt to be 2.4 times based on its 2020 or last year's performance. This is below the leverage target of the company, but it also provides some sort of synergy between how it manages its costs moving forward. But having said that, we would expect lower cash flow contributions from Celcom. We would also expect Digi to continuously deal with how it manages its net income as dividends for its own shareholders. So there's a lot of potential things that might impact the movement of the financials of the two companies, and particularly after this MergeCo. But how do you marry this idea of the you know, multiple wheels ongoing right now when it comes to their financials with what the market thinks and what the market perceives it to be as a good upside in the merger? How do we marry that idea together, these two conflicting ideas?
I think it really boils down, number one, what Axiata is going to do with the 2 billion cash received. Perhaps part of that will go into deleveraging, and perhaps part of that will go into expansion into other operations that it currently has. And then secondly, you know, the MergeCo, what kind of capital structure are they looking at maintaining? I think the terms, or you know, the capital structure remains unknown, remains uncertain at this point in time. But I think the company, from my understanding, is that they are planning to sort of look into the shareholders' returns and to sort of maximize the shareholder returns from the Celcom Axiata itself, which means that the 33.1% of stake that Axiata has in the MergeCo, you know, most of the cash generation will then flow out as dividends to both Telenor and Axiata. As to whether will that compensate, you know, the sort of previous 100% shareholding Axiata has in Celcom, I think that really boils down to what kind of capital structure is the MergeCo comfortable with.
All right, we'll go for a short break before we continue our conversation with Fitch Ratings Singapore. Thanks for staying on with us. I have with me on the line in Singapore, Janice Chong, Senior Director of Fitch Ratings. Janice, we haven't really spoken about the landscape of the telco environment here in Malaysia and in the region. We also haven't touched on, I guess, the direct competitors, at least in Malaysia, when it comes to telco. And the only name that comes to mind is actually Maxis here in Malaysia, but of course in the region as well. Should this merger be the first step to other potential mergers between Telenor, or at least between Axiata with other partners around the region? Do you think that this is good for the market when we see these two big heavyweights consolidating, creating a market share of more than 50% by just one player? What would be some of your thoughts when it comes to competitiveness in the telco sector in this region?
Right. I think let's start with Malaysia first. The mobile market in Malaysia has been on a declining phase. Mobile revenue has been declining for several years now. So that is highlights the difficult operating environment for mobile operators to compete in this hyper-competitive market. Now, if you look at the kind of monthly data consumption by a single subscriber in Malaysia that average about 20 gigabits on a monthly basis. That's about one of the highest, or perhaps the highest in the region that we are seeing. And if you compare that to countries like Indonesia, it's probably half of that at 10 gigabits mobile data consumption a month. And looking at Singapore, it's about 5 to 6 gigabits of mobile data consumption a month by mobile operators. I think part of that is due to the unlimited data plans offered by mobile operators in the country. And obviously, you know, the kind of data consumption required to support mobile broadband consumption in Malaysia. So as you can see, it's an exponential growth for data services, but the kinds of revenue that we are seeing does not quite match with the kind of data consumption that they are offering. So obviously, telcos in Malaysia would need to invest, you know, the kind of heavy capital expenditure on a yearly basis to support the exponential growth in data. So it's a very tough condition, operating condition in the country. And what really needs to happen is industry consolidation to bring about price stability among the players. And that's number one. And I think secondly, if you look at these mobile operators, I mean, they are mostly pure mobile operators. And, you know, I think the next demand would be, or next growth would be in terms of enterprise growth, as well as fixed or home broadband in the country. As you know, the lockdown or the COVID-19 situation is shifting data traffic to the home, right? So that in Malaysia is also another revenue stream that mobile operators could tap on. And then if you look at within the region, you know, in terms of hyper-competitive market, we look at India, which is has gone through a phase of consolidation for the past couple of years. And then in Singapore, we are also seeing, you know, we anticipate more M&As happening, industry consolidation here. So I think this M&A is a first step for more mergers or industry consolidation to come within the region.
You see, this is also quite interesting because, you know, in your earlier response, you were talking about this industry being in a declining phase. And I take cognizant of the fact that it is in a declining phase. And we're also entering a stage where the pandemic has forced all of us to embrace technology wholeheartedly. And the industrial revolution of a lot of sectors are also embracing the utility of data and perhaps even AI that is associated with data. But it's strange that while all these revolutions are taking place, the network guys, the operators are not feeling that kind of energetic boom, so to speak. I don't know how else to put this. So why is this phenomenon happening, you think, that, you know, the entire world is embracing tech and, you know, using technology and data, but at the same time, the operators themselves are not enjoying the kind of excitement that the entire world is going through?
I think that all boils down to competition. You know, it's naturally tough in a market for an operator to raise prices. I think even before the pandemic, data monetization has been weak. Operators struggle to, you know, sort of charge for higher data consumption. And more unlimited data plans are put out there in the market for one operator to sort of compete with the other. And I think it all boils down to competition. And, you know, it's whether that's why industry consolidation has to happen to bring about, you know, price stability, market stability, to the domestic market.
Okay, so there's a note that Fitch Ratings published, which is talking about other prospects of M&A in the Asia-Pacific region. You're talking about CK Hutchinson Holdings in discussions with Qatar-based Ooredoo to combine their Indonesian subsidiaries, PT Hutchinson 3 Indonesia with PT Indosat TBK. And of course, this is just one of the many things that are currently happening in Indonesia. And Axiata is in Indonesia through PT XL Axiata TBK to absorb, uh, to further invigorate their business there. Do you feel that this is the next frontier when it comes to Axiata merging their operations elsewhere?
I mean, in Indonesia, that is also another market that's ripe for industry consolidation. Siki Hutchison is currently talking to Ooredoo, you know, potential merger there. I think in terms of XL Axiata, they have also been looking. I mean, there've been market talks about outside of the incumbent, that is Telekomunikasi Indonesia, potentially, you know, could they consolidate or integrate their operations, you know, with the smaller operators. I think in terms of XL Axiata, clearly that leaves, you know, the only other operator out there, which is Smartfren. But clearly, I think, well, it remains to be seen, right? I mean, it all boils down to the valuation. It also look at the kind of reach, you know, the one operator has. But I think in terms of XL Axiata, perhaps the expansion would probably be worthwhile looking at is the fiber broadband network, and that's clearly something that is also growing in Indonesia.
Okay, so this is the situation that is happening in Indonesia, and marrying that with the idea that you spoke on earlier, which is the industry and the competition element of it. It's the same everywhere around the world, anywhere from the US to China to us here in Southeast Asia. Where is the trajectory going to be like for this sector in the near term, the next 1 to 2 years? Do you feel that there's a lot more scoping about in terms of a potential marriages that's going to take place just around the corner, but the marriage never will take place anytime soon because of the pandemic? Or do you feel that the mergers or the potential mergers are going to take place very soon because, well, the world can't wait, right? So where do you guys stand with regard to a potential M&A? Or will there be, you know, a kind of a cool period where people don't want to merge anytime soon?
Well, my personally, what I think is that M&As will happen, and it would happen, you know, at least merger talks will happen in the next 12 to 18 months. And what is driving that is really 5G investment, you know, the kind of 5G investment ahead, that's a heavy burden for a single telco without that kind of size or scale in order to bear for the next couple of years. So that's a driving factor. 5G will drive the competitive strategy and M&As.
All right. Thank you, Janice. Final word on Axiata merger. What do you feel about this?
I think it's a long time coming. I mean, we've anticipated this past 2 years, at least, and yet that didn't happen. I think the second time round, really, it depends on regulatory approvals, really. But I think this clearly is the right step towards better market stability in the Malaysian telecoms market.
Fantastic. That was Janice Chong, Senior Director at Fitch Ratings Singapore. If you missed any part of this interview, just head on to astroawani.com, look for Notepad, or Axiata or Fitch Ratings, or even DG on our website. And you can also watch these kind of interviews on your mobile devices. Just download the Astro Awani app wherever you get the application. Until then, thanks very much for watching, and goodbye.